Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Nice to have you with us today. We're going to learn how glucosamine, that's a supplement, is linked to a lower death rate. That's good news. In fact, 27% lower death from respiratory disease, 26% lower death from dying from digestive disease, 18% lower death risk from cardiovascular disease, plus dying from cancer. In fact, dying from any cause, 15%, that's good information. You're also going to learn how to reduce heart failure with one nutrient. I've got a lot to share, always from the best peer-reviewed literature, and meaning that we can live a longer and healthier life. But also today, I'm going to take a look at what we've done in the form of documentaries, commentaries, special investigative reports, white papers, and articles published about COVID. Now, what's important about this is that you'll see, and it's all there in complete detail on GaryNull.com, that the mainstream establishment, including the media, all the media, were wrong on every one of these points. We were right on every single point. Interesting, because how many people thought we shouldn't be doing anything because, well, first, it's a waste of time, and secondly, because it goes against Anthony Fauci and other people who clearly are in a better position to know the truth than we are? No, they are not. Here's also what you're going to learn today. We're going to take you on a little tour of what's wrong with the way we live. I'm going to be quoting from Chris Hedges, Dying for an iPhone today. Time permitting, I'm also going to be quoting from an interesting article from John Whitehead and Nisha Whitehead about make way for the snitch state, the all-seeing fourth branch of government, because this is happening now. If you watched today's news, you saw that the Biden administration is now fully supporting curriculums in all schools to teach about how if you're Caucasian, you're a racist. This is institutional fascism. It's here. I warned about it. People didn't pay attention. Now we have it. What do? We push back with the truth, and we'll be doing that. Also today, I interviewed a person this morning, and I'll be sharing some insight from this woman. Her name is Lynn Gannett, and the information that I have in her verbatim statements, I'll be quoting, it's all about Anthony Fauci, and it was from 20 years ago. Also, we're preparing a special presentation. I don't know how long it'll be. It might be 1 hour, 2 hour, 3 hour, 4 hours, but it's going to be next week. I have a lot of people working on it right now. My editor, chief editor, Valerie is working on it. Roland's working on it. Richard Gale's working on it. I'm working on it. And others. You're going to hear, in his own words, Anthony Fauci talking about AZT and the war on AIDS and what we got to do about it and what he did about it, what he bragged about. And then we're going to show you that he was wrong on every single point. As a result, millions of Americans suffered, hundreds of thousands died, and worldwide the numbers in the multiple millions. He's responsible for that. The media also then supported him. The administration supported him. But now history does not support him. We have all the evidence. So we'll present that next week in what will be the most comprehensive documentary ever done on a public official. So that's coming. I have another documentary coming. And in fact, I have two documentaries out right now, but there's no theater to premiere them in, but I will. And a third will be finished within 4 weeks when I return to the city. So we are jamming, because it's time that we all joined in this. Also, we have some DVDs to play today, including one about social media and the psychology of loneliness and how easy it is to allow yourself to be a part of the mass, the mob, the group think, and how dangerous that is to yourself. Also, Dr. Michael Yeadon is going to expose what he calls the hoax of COVID-19. So we have a lot to share, and you'll have an opportunity to call in and share your points of view in the process. There's a lower risk of death from cardiovascular disease and cancer and respiratory disease and digestive disorders in any cause among individuals who supplement with glucosamine in comparison with those who didn't. This was published in the Annals of Rheumatic Disease. Researchers looked at 495,000 participants enrolled in the UK Biobank study. They looked at a median of 8.9 years, and they looked at deaths. Those who took glucosamine reported 19.1% at the baseline. And those are the people who took it daily. Those are the people who didn't die when other people did. How about that? Also, a separate article from Science Translational Medicine, eating less salt helps support healthy immune system. Don't we all want healthier functioning immune system? Of course we do. One simple way, and this is really simple, maintain a healthy immune function by lowering your salt intake. Use lemon or lime juice on potatoes, on rice, on vegetables. It gives you the same taste, the same mouthfeel, the same satiety for that sharp taste, but without the sodium. Researchers studied the effects of a high salt diet in humans, and what they found was that that you're going to have a lot of problems when you're consuming the amount of salt we do. It hurts the kidneys, which whose sodium chloride sensor activates salt excretion in the urine. The sensor is also responsible for accumulation of glucocorticoids that inhibit the function of granulocytes that primarily attack bacteria. So when you have more salt, your body is less likely to attack bacteria. Also, for those of you who would like to reduce your opportunity for a heart failure, according to the Journal of the American Heart Association, they have found that a lower risk of heart failure was among women in the Women's Health Initiative who had a greater intake of magnesium compared to those who had a lower intake. They studied 97,000 postmenopausal women, and they found that take your magnesium. Now, they were only taking 461 milligrams per day, and still they found that there was a 25% greater adjustment risk of heart failure. I wouldn't start anyone at 461 milligrams. I would start all postmenopausal menopausal women at 1,000 milligrams and go up from there. And then imagine what the what that would mean. Well, when magnesium from food alone was analyzed, the risk of heart failure to those consuming the least amount was 32% higher than the group with the greatest consumption. So a lot of people are still under this misguided therapy that all they have to do is get their nutrients from food. I wish that were the case. I'll give you just one example. If you were to get the indole-3 carbinols or the isothiocyanates, or the other anti-cancer properties from your cruciferous family, broccoli, cauliflower, and kale, radishes, Brussels sprouts, asparagus, etc. You don't realize that those are very hard to digest. And the nutrients that you want are locked inside the lignocellulose. Now, steaming them will definitely improve the absorption and the amount. Juicing them is absolutely the best, but also then taking a supplement of the very same nutrient is the best of all. If you want to get all the vitamin C you needed from drinking orange juice, you would have to drink about 100 glasses a day just to get what I consider the minimal amount that you need to be therapeutic or functional in the body. So that's why it's important to do intelligent supplementation with a healthy diet. Want to add 5 more years onto your life with just one therapy? What we have now is a knowledge of what happens when your blood pressure is elevated. Most people would love to have a 120 over 80 mmHg. However, most people don't. And for those of us who are athletic and very much into health, we even have a lower one than that and are outstandingly healthy with our heart. But the average person, unfortunately, because of the diet, lack of exercise, and stress, they have a heart that beats. And each time it beats, it generates a systolic pressure that enables oxygenated blood to circulate throughout your body. Normal aging usually results in elevation of systolic blood pressure that damages arteries and delicate capillary beds. Excess systolic blood pressure causes or contributes to coronary artery disease, aortic valve stenosis, cerebrovascular disease, kidney failure, retinopathy, and other eye disorders, and dementia. Let us be clear, blood pressure is increasing worldwide due to ever-growing numbers of overweight and obese individuals. If effective modulation is not brought to bear, the person is going to die an earlier life. We had the Framingham study. It was a heart study, and it talked about the danger of increased stroke and heart attack when your blood pressure is elevated. And a lot of people don't even know they have elevated blood pressure. That's why it's called the silent epidemic. Elevated blood pressure is a major, I mean really serious, modifiable risk factor for cardiovascular disease and death. According to one major report, and that's important, that you're going to have a 62% cerebrovascular disease increase and 49% coronary heart disease when your blood pressure is not at the right level. So my suggestion is that start to exercise, get off the salt, get off the refined carbohydrates, start using nutrients that we know makes a difference. Coenzyme Q10 twice a day, that will make a difference. L-carnitine at 1,000 milligrams or higher, that makes a difference. Vitamin E with tocotrienols at 800 units a day, 400 in the morning, 400 in the afternoon, that makes a difference. And then a plant-based diet makes a huge difference. When you do all that, then you're doing the right thing for your heart. You're adding at least a minimum of 5 years onto your lifespan. And healthy years we're talking about, not sick years. So these are not difficult choices to make. That's the latest on health and healing. We're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we're going to go directly into and by the way, you can watch these videos by going to prn.fm. You can scroll down and you'll see them. But we're going to go to Dr. Michael Yeadon first. That's a short one. Then we're going to segue from Dr. Michael Yeadon directly into how the social media and the psychology of loneliness are connected and why it's so dangerous not to be able to think independently, act independently, maintain some sense of individuality and autonomy in a collectivist society that's even worse than it's ever been in my lifetime. Back in a moment. Please stay with us.
Immunologist, I would say one of my strongest suits is immunology. And I'm absolutely confident that all the stories they are telling you around the world about variants is a lie. It's complete fraud. And I can exemplify. So we're all being told about variants, the Brazilian, the Kent, South African, and so on. I just ask people just to take a deep breath. Recognize this is it's a big virus. It consists of what's called amino acids, 10,000 of them in strings, and then they're all folded up to form the characteristic shape that you know and hate. If you go and look for the virus that is most different from the one originally sequenced in Wuhan about 16 months ago, you will find that the most different variant is only 0.3% different. So it's 99.7% identical. They're all of them 99.7% identical to the original. And you might be thinking, that doesn't sound like enough to escape the human immune system. And you're right, it's not, and I can prove it, that the 2003 SARS virus is related to SARS-CoV-2. They differ by about 20%, 20. So about 80 times as much variation between those two viruses and any of the variants of the current one. And I can assure you that when immunology researchers found scores of people who'd been infected by SARS in 2003, they took blood samples from these volunteers. They confirmed two important things. One, all of the survivors still had really good immune memory to the virus they'd encountered 17 years ago, which is what you'd expect. But what was wonderful is they all also possessed what's called cross immunity. That is, their immune system recognized the new virus. And I'm not surprised. The human immune system essentially takes multiple pictures of any pathogen that it encounters, often between 15 and 30 pictures. And basically, none of the variants change more than a couple of those pictures. So when you encounter the variant, having been immunized by infection or vaccination, it's impossible. It's not just implausible, it's impossible that your body doesn't recognize that variant as something it's seen before. So your governments are lying to you. And in my case, United Kingdom has closed the border effectively, really restricted international travel. And the reason they give is because of these variants, which I know for certain is a lie. They're not a problem at all. But furthermore, what's absolutely terrifying is two further bits of information which I want your viewers and listeners to hear. The pharmaceutical industry is already manufacturing so-called top-up or variant vaccines. Now, if I'm right, and they're not, these variants aren't different enough to warrant a different vaccine, and they are not, what is it that they're manufacturing? I don't know the answer to that question, but I'm actually terrified. And then when I give you one last piece of information, a few weeks ago, the world's medicines regulators, including the FDA, the European Medicines Agency, and their sibling in Japan, and they issued a statement that said that the variant or top-up vaccines are so similar to the parent vaccines from which they were derived, we will not require the drug companies to run any clinical safety studies on them. So yes, you've got that right. If the drug company designs a vaccine on a computer, it'll go straight to manufacturing. And as long as it meets manufacturing quality standards, it can then be injected into the arms of hundreds of millions or even billions of people. And remember what I said about the vaccine passports. Once they're up and running, once it tells you to do something on pain of losing the validity of your vaccine passport, you will comply. Now, if you wanted to really... if you wanted to be really terrified, since it's not my crime, I don't know why they're manufacturing top-up vaccines, and so I don't know what their intent is in injecting you. But you don't need a particularly vivid imagination.
Okay. By the way, for 40 years, he has been one of the world's most respected scientists, worked as a vice president in the science division for Pfizer, and now, of course, they're attacking him because he's willing to tell the truth. But we're not hearing the truth, in my opinion. I am very pleased when I see a video of parents going to a school board meeting and demanding that the children, their children, not be taught D'Angelo's concept of white fragility, which quite simply stated is the newest form of racism with incredible implications. Because they're now teaching it to young children in grade school, high school. So by the time a child is now in college, many will be fully affirmed in the belief that there is no such thing as a legitimate nuclear family. There's no mother, father, a brother, sister. There is, you are born racist and you can never change it. And yet so many people I know within all different cultures and all different ethnicities see this, and they're deeply offended by it, as rightly they should be. But those in power are using this as a tool, and it's not going to have a good outcome. Reason, responsible thinking, and spiritual awareness, what is the only thing that we can use to challenge them? Let me give you some examples of this. I'm going to share some of my own insights that I set up last night and was thinking about this in writing, as well as Chris Hedges from his sheer post, Dying for an iPhone. Go back to Occupy Wall Street. I was there every single day for the first 23 days. Fortunately, I took my camera crew with me. I wanted to film some of what I was seeing. I thought it was very exciting that mainly young people were coming forward and challenging the 1%. But of course, any honest and scholarly look would show you that we didn't have 1%. And in fact, I made out a chart and I took it down. I handed it out to about 100 people who were there. There weren't that many people there. This is before the media caught on. And I listed who would be considered challengers to the quality of all of our lives. In other words, who had disproportionate money and resources and who did not. And it was interesting because five of the people who were standing together who I interviewed, all of their parents were in that class. They were all professionals. They earned anywhere from $500,000 to over $2 million a year. When I asked to see their clothing, it was all made in Bangladesh or someplace else where women were exploited, being paid as little as 14 cents an hour. When I asked who they were against, they were against the machine, the establishment. They were against corporate America, yet they were wearing Tommy Hilfiger, Calvin Klein. They were wearing Versace. Their banking credit cards were all from the major banks, and they had all gone to Ivy League schools. So then I ask, well, if you're against the machine, if you're against the man, if you're against corporate interests, if you're against neoliberalism, if you're against hegemonic people, then why are you supporting them? Well, that suddenly got him angry. Now, instead of having a rational discussion, it was reactionary discussion. Egos, defenses, how dare you? And I said, no, I'm not how daring anyone. I'm just asking why there's a contradiction between what you say you believe and the actual belief. You're supporting everything you say you're against. Look at you. Look at everything you're about. You're eating a hamburger. That's McDonald's hamburgers. You're drinking Coca-Cola. Do you think those are not influencing people's health around the world? How many people have had colorectal cancer because of the amount of meat they've consumed? Or how many people have had diabetes because of the amount of fructose they've consumed in soft drinks? And you don't consider that the problem? So you want to get out there and yell and, you know, at in the wind, but you're actually contributing to everything that's wrong? Just own it so you can change it. But nobody wanted to change anything. They just wanted to mouth off. We see the same thing again today. And you see this in one way that should be very apparent, but is not. And that is the global capitalist have turned back the clock, according to Chris Hedges, to the early days of the Industrial Revolution. What do I mean? The working class is increasingly bereft of rights, blocked from forming unions, paid starvation wages, subject to wage theft, under constant surveillance, fired for minor infractions, exposed to dangerous carcinogens, forced to work overtime, giving punishing quotas, and abandoned when they are sick and old. Workers have become, here and abroad, disposable cogs to corporate oligarchs who wallow in obscene personal wealth that dwarfs the worst excesses of the robber barons. Did you see the cutout? I believe I have it right here in front of me. It was just about a gift that was given. Let me see if I can find it here. I had it just over the weekend, and I just found it so interesting. Let's see. No, nuts, I don't have it in front of me. But it was Jay-Z bought his wife a car, $24 million Rolls Royce, with the added touch that in the trunk, it came out into a like a picnic table. Now, just imagine you're so wealthy that aside from all your other real estate, you can buy yourself a Rolls Royce, one of a kind, $24 million, that has a picnic table in the back, as if you're going to actually use the picnic table. Yes, let's go over to one of the parks over in Riverside Drive, and we'll just pull our car in. Everybody else is having their picnic. We'll have ours. It's obscene. What could that $24 million have done if you took it into a low-income community and rehabilitated an entire block with affordable housing, quality housing, clinics, counseling centers, a community garden? But no, we have to show the world what we own. We have to show them how significant we are by how we make our money, how much, and how we spend it. In fashionable liberal circles, there are, as Noam Chomsky notes, worthy and unworthy victims. Nancy Pelosi has called on global leaders not to attend the Olympics, scheduled to be held in Beijing this February, because of what she called a genocide being carried out by the Chinese government against the Uyghur minority. New York Times columnist Nick Kristof, in a column, rattled off a list of human rights violations overseen by China's leader, Xi Jinping, writing that he eviscerates Hong Kong freedoms, jails lawyers and journalists, seizes Canadian hostages, threatens Taiwan, and most horrifying, presides over crimes against humanity in the far western region of a province that is home to several Muslim minorities, end quote. Hold on. Not a word about the millions of workers in China who are treated like serfs. They live separated from their families, including their children, and housed in overcrowded company dormitories, which sees rent deducted from their paychecks. They live right next to factories that have round-the-clock production, often making products for U.S. corporations. Those workers are abused, underpaid, and sickened from exposure to chemicals and toxins such as aluminum dust. The suffering of the working class within and outside the United States is as ignored by our corporatized media as the suffering of the Palestinians. And yet, I would argue, it is one of the most important human rights issues of our era, since once workers are empowered, they can fend off other human rights violations. Unless workers can organize here in other countries such as China and achieve basic rights and living wages, it will cement into place a global serfdom that will leave workers trapped in the appalling conditions described by Frederick Engels in his 1845 book, The Conditions of the Working Class in England. Wasn't it Zola's 1885 masterpiece, Germinal? As long as China can pay slave wages, it will be impossible to raise wages anywhere else. Any trade agreement has to include the right of workers to organize. Otherwise, all the promises by Joe Biden to rebuild the American middle class is a lie. Between 2001 and 2011, 2.7 million jobs were lost to China, with 2.1 million of those in manufacturing. Do you think they're coming back? No, they're not coming back, and even more closing down. None are coming back if workers in China and other countries that allow corporations to exploit labor and skirt basic environmental and labor regulations are locked in corporate servitude. And while we can chastise China for its labor policies, the United States has crushed its own union movement. It allowed its corporations to move manufacturing overseas to profit from the Chinese manufacturing models. It suppressed wages, passed anti-labor right-to-work laws, and demolished regulations that once protected workers. The war on workers is not a Chinese phenomena. It's a global one, and the United States corporations are complicit. Apple has 46% of its suppliers in China. Walmart has 80% of its suppliers in China. Amazon has 63% of its suppliers in China. Therefore, anytime you buy anything from these corporations, though convenient as it may be, lowered in price as it may benefit you, you're also supporting slave labor. Now, look in the mirror and say, I'm going to go out to Walmart and buy something in all likelihood I don't need, and I'm supporting slave labor and I'm proud of it. Oh, you wouldn't say that. You wouldn't believe it. But it's nonetheless true, no different than when I challenged those individuals who, in their own self-righteous contempt for seeing themselves as contributing to the problem that they were there to protest. The largest U.S. corporations are full partners in the exploitation of Chinese labor and the abandonment and impoverishment of the American working class. U.S. corporations and Chinese manufacturers kept millions of Chinese workers crammed into factories at the height of the global pandemic. Their health was of no concern. Apple's profits more than doubled to $23.6 billion in the most recent quarter. Its revenues rose by 54% to $89.6 billion, which meant Apple sold more than $1 billion on average each day. Until these corporations are held accountable, which they will not be, where the media becomes its, let's say, its propaganda machine, for corporatization, hegemonic practices, neoliberalism, utter corruption of the work ethic of corporations, then everyone who is not, let's say, an executive or in a trade where they can control their own hours and wages, or in a profession such as the lawyers, doctors, and engineers, you'll be treated no better than a serf. And Biden administration will do nothing to change anything. Economic justice is global where it does not exist. Recently, at one of the anti-aging lectures I gave just a few weeks ago, I said that there are two truths we all must abide by. One is individual truth. Individual truth may serve you correctly or not. When people belong to a cult, and COVID is a cult, Anthony Fauci is the cult leader, and he is a high priest, but he does not even compare to the godlike creature that Bill Gates has become, all because of money and where he puts it, in the pockets of complicit scientists who then do his bidding with proprietary science, corrupt to the core. And the media, NPR, PBS. That's how it works. And so where's the truth going to come from? Your individual truth that says, it's easier for me to lie about something than tell the truth. I want to take a shortcut in life. In which case, that's your individual truth. It does not mean all individual truths are corrupted. But in our society today, when people do not act not only in their own best interest, but in the larger community best interest, then they are also, by extension, complicit. Their individual truth betrayed them. Then you have the universal truth. Universal truth means that something should be true for everyone, that we should all benefit. We should not have winners and losers at life. Someone should never be relegated to being a loser or vilified, given a scarlet letter because of their ethnicity, no matter what their color. And yet that's exactly what's happening. If you want to see where this is going, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'd like everyone in this audience to go up online and read Mein Kampf, My Story by Hitler, written back in 1922. He was a functional illiterate, but he had someone a little smarter than him actually doing the writing. But look at what that portended. Look where it led to. Look at how much suffering. Look at genocide. Look at the decimation of most of the Jews in Europe, plus communists and Africans. And others and gypsies, Roma, he killed them all because they weren't Aryan. They didn't have the right genes. Then read D'Angelo's book and look at the consequences of creating a new stream of consciousness out of complete context to anything that is universally true. Today, Martin Luther King would be appalled and therefore he would be vilified. The very people who pretend to proclaim that he was a righteous civil rights leader, he and Gandhi and others, as flawed as they were, they would also be the first to be shamed and canceled. Because you can't have two truths. You have a dominant truth and everything else is sublimated under it. So they believed in universal truths. Today we believe in individual truths. And we act upon that and others act on it for us. Just go to any of the Chinese, you can go online to see these, the Chinese industrial centers, self-contained company cities with up to 500,000 people. They drive the huge profits of two of the world's most powerful companies, Foxconn, the world's largest provider of electronic manufacturing services, and Apple with $2 trillion in market value. Foxconn's largest customer is Apple, but it also produces products for Alphabet, those are the Google people, formerly Google, Amazon, which owns more than 400 private label brands, BlackBerry, Cisco, Dell, GE, HP, IBM, Intel, LG, Microsoft, Nintendo, Panasonic, Philips, Samsung, Sony, Toshiba, as well as leading Chinese firms, including Lenovo and ZTE. Foxconn assembles iPhones, iPads, iPods, Macs, TVs, Xboxes, PlayStations, Kindles, printers, as well as numerous digital devices. That's the spectacle that we see. And that's why in Chris Hedges' article, Dying for an iPhone, if you're a worker in one of those factories making a person's iPhone, they actually commit suicide. They had to put nets under the windows. You're dealing with today an Orwellian dystopia in China and in the United States. Workers live under constant surveillance. They're policed by company security units. They sleep in segregated male and female dormitories with eight or more people to a single room. The multi-story dormitories have bars on the windows and nets below. They put up to a halt the spate of worker suicides. The workplace and living space are compressed to facilitate high-speed, round-the-clock production. Why? And they're paid $2 an hour or $390 a month. And that's paid through debit cards, an updated version of company script. Why is all this happening? So that you can have a device that you believe makes your life simpler. Now, I'm not even talking about 5G pollution and smart meters, which are deadly. I'm just talking about all of the corruption of individuals within a corporatist and capitalist and fascistic systems that believe that you have no value except how you can be exploited. But before they can exploit you, they have to propagandize you. And that's where you have to accept being complicit. That's why I'm concerned by what's happening today. It's only going to get worse unless you decide to look for universal truths where we all are treated with respect, where no one, because of their culture, their religion, their age, their gender, is the subject of disdain. And now it's codified by laws that you're to be disdained. Even having an opinion other than the corporate opinion on coronaviruses, you are attacked. That's how bad it's gotten. Just some thoughts. But now I want to give you some additional insights from Dr. Sadaf Gilani from Off Guardian, a good publication. This is called COVID Vaccines, a Faltering Framework. Quote, on April 20th, The Lancet published an analysis on the efficacy of the COVID injections. The analysis supports conclusions made in my earlier analysis that the COVID injections are not 95% efficacious. Beyond the analysis, tepid language couched in scientific jargon, the graphic that appears is quite startling. As is often true, the devil lies in the details, in this case, the difference between relative risk reduction and absolute risk reduction. For the absolute risk reduction, you can calculate the number needed to vaccinate, which signifies approximately how many people must be injected to hypothetically benefit just one person. It is a metric every person needs to understand before taking the COVID injection. For Pfizer, this number is estimated at 119. What am I talking about? That means that 119 people must be injected for it to reduce a COVID case in one person. Therefore, 118 people will get the risk of the injection, the vaccine, but no benefit whatsoever. Some estimates are even higher. According to the Lancet, data from Pfizer rollout in Israel suggest that that number is 217 must be injected for one to benefit. These NNV figures are likely underestimated, as there is significant obfuscation with trial data. The actual efficacy is likely less than 1% of some of the injected groups who will become ill with COVID-like symptoms were fallaciously labeled as side effects rather than potential breakthrough infections. Also unaccounted for in the lucky 0.84% of people under 1% who are hypothetically benefited from the vaccine are the side effects. Efficacy metrics do not include adverse events from the injections. In other words, safety and efficacy are entirely different considerations. For example, even an efficacious intervention may not be safe if the risk of harm is high. This vaccine experiment is only a few months old, yet the passive vaccine adverse event reporting system in the U.S. has accounted for deaths following COVID injections has already been greater than the previous 21 years of deaths from all vaccines combined, as well as over 227,000 other non-fatal adverse events. What's more, it is reported the vaccine system only accounts for 1% of actual adverse effects. So could we say that 5,000 dead is actually 50,000 dead? Could we say that 227 million is actually over 2.5 million injuries? Many alarmed researchers and doctors around the world have called to halt this experiment, citing a growing body of unusual side effects and associated deaths. So there you have it. Another individual, another scientist, just destroying the lies of the media about how many people actually benefited. It wasn't 95%, it was under 1%. Joining us now is Richard Gale. Richard, we had two stories going on in the United States and around the world. One was the official story with Anthony Fauci and Bill Gates and others, and the New York Times and everyone else having them on and just saying, oh, thank you for being here, and what's the latest truth? Then you had what we reported. Give us the facts, please.
Oh, we've started reporting on the coronavirus in went into high gear with this in early March of last year. So it's over a year ago, and I recall that one of the first things we were looking at was, since we knew that this was a respiratory infection, one of the first things we did was we looked at the medical literature to try to provide listeners and write articles about what you could do to protect the health of your lungs and your respiratory system. And many of those things that we had uncovered in the research and in the medical databases was there was vitamin D, nitric oxide, melatonin, zinc, and this was we were recommending zinc. Hydroxychloroquine, zinc, azithromycin protocol that was being recommended. So there was already we were reporting on the evidence of zinc. There was N-acetylcysteine, and then there was also all the research that had been done for the previous SARS pandemic and the MERS, the Middle Eastern coronavirus pandemic in the Mideast. There was the licorice root. So all of these now we've been seeing in the medical literature being looked at again. And we're hearing all these conventional orthodox physicians and on the front lines and treating patients and clinicians coming out and speaking about the benefits of particularly melatonin, zinc, and acetylcysteine and vitamin D. So we were kind of, I think we were very much on top of the game there. And then very early when there was this the talk of the vaccines getting started, so this would have been late April, and when Moderna's name started to pop up into the news, and then shortly thereafter was Pfizer, and about that point, I think there were about 133 different vaccines around the world that were in development at that time. We started to write about the going back into what were the other attempts to making a coronavirus vaccine. And I think that was, and we reported on that, that was in early May. And when we look back at that work that we had done then, it's quite amazing just how much of what we are seeing now in the adverse effects of the, particularly the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccines, were already known. These were already known based on the earlier attempts and efforts to make the coronavirus vaccine that were all shelved because of the dangers that were seen in the lab animals when they were testing them. Even very early on, we reported how the National Chunghwa University in Taiwan was raising issues. And this is back in April, a year ago, April. April 2020, were raising issues around the new variants that could emerge and that these vaccines would not be able to deal with them due to the specificity of the mRNA vaccines towards the spike protein. So that was, and we're witnessing and seeing that now. There was also a Columbia University, so I'm repeating what we were reporting back over a year ago in April, May. We were already reporting on the rapid immune waning, and that confers with a Columbia University study that looked at the reinfection rates alone from the wild infections too, but associating that with what the vaccines would be doing. There was a professor at University of Maryland who's a coronavirus expert, Matt Freeman, and he had posited pretty early on that we would see the coronavirus was seasonal. So, and therefore you'd be seeing declines. And in fact, we did last summer. Last summer, the number of cases were really leveling out, bottoming out. And now we're seeing that happen again as the weather is getting warmer. But of course, we're seeing the health of the officials saying this is all due to the vaccine, the effectiveness of the vaccine. Which is kind of nonsensical because there was last summer, there was no vaccine being given, and we're seeing so the same patterns being replayed. What is notable for me, and just before coming on the air today, I went back up into the National Library of Medicine to do some kind of quick checking. And that was, we were reporting that, again, this is back in May, that there could be problems with eosinophils. So eosinophils are, it's a disease-fighting white blood cell. Okay, that we produce, it's most often associated, you see, the body will produce more EOs when there's a parasitic infection or allergies or even cancer, okay? So, and the interesting thing is that these eosinophils, there's a what's called blood eosinophilia. So it's these eosinophils that are traveling around in your blood. But there's also tissue eosinophilia. It's the eosinophils will congregate at a site in the tissues where there's an infection or inflammation. And so when I go back and look at the research, the Wuhan Institute's effort back in 2018 to make a SARS vaccine. And they saw that it was increasing the infections and they shelved that particular vaccine. It was because of eosinophils. In 2008, the Japanese also tried to develop a vaccine against coronavirus, focusing on the spike protein. But then what they discovered was when the lab animals, the eosinophils were infiltrating into the lungs, and they were sickening in the epithelium cells, creating the clots. This is back in 2008. There was another attempt that was made at University of Texas and Baylor made two attempts back in 2012 and began in 2016 to create a coronavirus vaccine. And both they had to shelve both of those studies because of the incidence of pulmonary pathology and lung pathologies in the University of North Carolina effort to make a coronavirus vaccine in 2015. Again, was eosinophils create inflammation in the lungs, and they also noted in that study it could contribute to cancer. It could contribute to cancer. So I went back to see what kind of research has been done recently now that the vaccines are on the market, and I'm noticing that there's a Sechenov University in Moscow did a study with Bern University in Germany, and they raised a very early concern. So this is a year ago, June, okay? But they're a deep concern that the vaccines would be inducing this anaphylactic lung disease and following the infection that you get after a vaccination. University of Cincinnati, last July, they were posing a really serious question. They were concerned that that this eosinophilia could be associated, that's associated with acute respiratory deterioration after an infection, but this could become associated with the vaccines as well. We'd be likely to see it. And it reached a point where even the National Institutes of Health recently, it was a paper I found that they just did, and they're trying to downplay the eosinophilia problem, but at least what the article's saying is that they're recognizing this is a problem with these vaccines.
Let me just put this in summary. We wrote the first articles that I could find using only library medicine peer review studies showing that vitamin D, vitamin C, magnesium, selenium, the herb astragalus, among others, could keep the immune system strong. We were right. They downplayed that, even said not to do anything. They were wrong. Think of how many people would have lived had they taken the advice that we shared. We've done 16 articles on coronavirus. Go back and look at our articles. Go to GaryNoll.com. and see what would have happened had people listened. Now, guess what? There are those who are saying that the people who are at most risk of getting sick are around people who are vaccinated, because now we're seeing the potential for shedding. We're seeing that the vaccine doesn't stay in your shoulder, as we were told and promised. It's breaking off and going throughout the body. We're seeing all these other blood clots and seizures and brain problems, heart problems. So now we're just beginning to open up this Pandora box of bad, all because the media, the scientific community, was not critical. They simply accepted a consensus based upon the hegemons who headed this group, and that was a terrible mistake. We'll keep on this. Thank you, Richard, for your input. Yeah. We're coming up near the end of our show. I'm still going to take some calls. I see there's some people online. But I want to mention a little, it's not a webinar. It's free. I'm going to do a conference call, because this Sunday at noon, I'm going to give you the number and the PIN number. I'm going to have a discussion about what we're doing as far as allowing some people, a small number, maybe two people, who are qualified, and I'll go over the qualifications, to work on some homesteading projects, meaning preparing, growing. We're doing it already. It's all this has been done. In fact, just right now as we're speaking, one of the people who heads up the food project, his name is John, and he has mastered the art of making organic vegan fudge in four different tastes, and we're taking that to farmers market. Plus, we're taking about 80 other different foods we're making from scratch. So some people wanted to see about being a part of it, and since it's already in place, we're going to allow two people to come and spend some time there starting in July. If this interests you, your call number I'm going to give you. Also, I'm interested in speaking with citizen journalists about some investigations that we need more people to do so we can report on it now that Anthony Fauci's veneer has been substantially, it's been dented. He doesn't have the perfect image anymore, and it's going to get a lot worse for him. So we need some citizen journalists working on some research. Call if you want to join me Sunday at noon. Here's the number, 712-451-0200. Again, 712-451-0200. Now, there's a PIN number you have to dial in order to get in on the call. It's 444-555. Three fours and three fives. 444-555. Again, it's not a webinar. It's just to, instead of, just having some local people in the local community be a part of it, I thought it'd be nice to offer an opportunity for some of the people in this audience who'd like to be in a beautiful environment, work on some really cool projects, self-sustaining projects, and learn some things that people have spent a lot of time working on this to perfect it. Hydroponics, freeze-drying, a lot of different good things. Now, one other thing is that, and those of you who own a small business will appreciate this, I'm going to be discontinuing five products. Now, these are phenomenal products. In fact, they're five of the best products I've ever produced. And the reason I'm discontinuing them is simple. And that's why I say if you own a little business, you understand this. And that is because manufacturing has changed. No longer can I order 1,000 bottles of something, which I normally do, just about 1,000. Big order would be 1,500. They're wanting 10, 20,000 bottles. Well, I looked at how much it would cost to do a reorder when these are out of stock, and it would be over $500,000. I don't have that kind of money sitting around to put it in some products. And so in any case, so even though they're phenomenal products, when they're gone forever. So if you want to get these until they're gone, and I know exactly how many I got, how many are in front of me, Perfect Pet, 52 bottles, Foaming Skin Cleaner, the cleaner, that great pump soap that I made, 547, Total Body Moisturizer. This is the best moisturizer anywhere. I defy anyone to find a better one for your skin. And then the Natural Hair Shampoo and the Natural Hair Conditioner. That's what I'm allowing to go out of stock because, quite simply, the cost of doing even a minimum run would be buying what would be 10 years worth of inventory for what has to be sold so it doesn't expire within 2 years. So fortunately, I ordered a lot of stuff during the pandemic, and so I'm not out, and nor will I be out of the other products. But these, got to let them go. So the natural shampoo, the natural hair conditioner, the total body moisturizer, the foaming skin cleanser, and the perfect pet food you can get, and until it's gone, and it will be gone in the near future. Now, the number you call to get them is 877-627-5065, 877-627-5065, or you can call Neil in our vitamin closet at 646-926-5430. 646-926-5430. Not to worry about, I still have 41 products. The green stuff, the red stuff, the nitric cell stuff, the brand new coming out, I guess, in 2 weeks. It will be the new muscle stuff. And boy, is it phenomenal when it comes out. So, but we have enough inventory of those. And we have other manufacturers for those. So I'm not limited in, I don't have to order 20,000 bottles of something. Just imagine if something cost me $20 a bottle. And I got to order 20,000. That's almost $500,000 for one product. That's unfortunate, but that's the way it is when you're a little tiny manufacturer. We're out of time. I'm going to get to a lot of stuff next week. I'm going to go into a lot of the environmental issues, getting off the grid, dealing with our economy, what's going on with inflation. I'm going to deal with a lot of issues I would normally deal with, but I said, this is the week I'm finishing up on COVID. As of Monday, if something comes out, we'll give it to you in updates of no more than 5 minutes, and then have it posted, the articles, so you can download them, read them, and go to GaryNall.com and download, and go to GaryNall.com and watch the film, The Cost of Denial. That's going to play very important in what I'm going to do next week with Anthony Fauci. Have a nice weekend, everyone.